we continue in worship, we open up our Bibles to Mark's Gospel and chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, reading from chapter 1, verse 9. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee, was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When they had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. Today, we are thinking a little bit about life's big question. You know what the answer is now. If you can work out what the question is, and as I suggested earlier, for many, for I think all folk, we know there's a question there. The question mark says it. We know there's a question there, but the struggle often in life is working out what on earth the question is. And our lives are spent in pursuit of working out what the question is. And we think that once we've discovered the question, we've found, in a sense, the answer, but it's not. All we've done is discovered the question, and what we need to do is to begin to answer the question. And the question I'm suggesting, life's big question, is who are you going to be? And I refrain from saying, what are you going to do with your life? Because what you do proceeds from who you are. It's far more important to work out who you're going to be, your values, your ethos. Who are you going to follow in your life? And I believe there is this big question for everybody. And discovering that this is the question is the beginning of us trying to answer the question. Today, thinking about God's transformation, making the choice, my way or God's way. And that is a very simple, straightforward, blunt challenge even that is presented to us when we think about God's transforming power. We thought a couple of weeks ago about God's power, that God's power is a greater power than any other power we might come across. God's power is the power of love that raises the dead. God's mercy, as we reflected, I think it was last week, God's mercy is God's power made visible, God's power put into action, his mercy to forgive every wrongdoing, to cleanse us from all that we've done wrong, to clear us of guilt and shame. God's mercy, God's power, God's mercy, and then God's transformation, God's ability to transform us. Because it is true that sometimes we say, well, I believe that God is powerful. I know he has great power. I know he has great mercy. And he'll forgive my sin. But the problem is, I keep going down this same path. I keep making the same mistakes. I keep on having to call on him to forgive me, to show me his mercy. Is it possible that God can actually transform me? Is it possible that God can make me something new? Make me everything I think he wants me to be? And it may be even right now, before I click onto another slide, It might be the answer for you. Who are you going to be? Your answer is simply, well, I don't really know who I'm going to be, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to open myself to God and say, God, I want you to transform me. I want you to transform me, to change me, to pour out your Spirit upon me, so that whatever gifts, whatever abilities I have, whatever experience, whatever wisdom I have, I pray, Lord, that you would take all of these things that seem to be me, and you would mold them together in a new way, in a transformative way. And I will be everything, in a sense I've ever dreamed of. Deep down, I will be everything, Lord, that you made me to be. Making the choice, ultimately, it is, do we do it my way or do we do it God's way? Who was it who sang, I did it? Was it Frank Sinatra? Wasn't Elvis, was it? Oh, Elvis did it as well. I did it my way. You know, and we sing, I did it my way. And we think it's a great anthem to independence and autonomy. And that it is. But if we're going to be the best that we can possibly be, if we're going to be the people that God has created us to be, we need God to transform us. And as long as we keep on my way, we will never discover God's way. On Channel 4, I think it's Channel 4, couldn't tell you exactly what time it's on, but I think it's on just about every night. There's kind of a thought, reflective thought spot. Do you know what I'm talking about? You know, it's just like a minute or 2 minutes, and it's a completely white studio, perhaps with a chair there or some one prop. And somebody, all sorts of traditions and philosophies and beliefs will come on and just talk to the camera for a minute or a couple of minutes or something. I think it was last night, a couple of nights ago, that somebody walked on and he said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Haven't touched a drink, I think he said, for 34 years. And then he said this, Jesus is my higher power. Jesus is my higher power. And it might sound strange to your ears, but if you know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous, they have 12 steps to transformation in Alcoholics Anonymous. When you acknowledge, I'm an alcoholic, you go to Alcoholics Anonymous. And the very first step is you must acknowledge, I'm an alcoholic, and there is a greater power. There is a higher power. There is a power higher than me who will help me get through. And all alcoholics, when they go to Alcoholics Anonymous, have to acknowledge that. And they say, there's no point going on to the next step unless you can do that, unless you can say, I'm an alcoholic and there is a higher power. And that man said, Jesus is my higher power. How did he get through? Because he acknowledged, if I keep doing it my way, I'll never get there. But if I acknowledge there's a higher power, if I acknowledge Jesus, he will help me get through. And he stepped into the footsteps of Jesus. Even yesterday, I was talking to a lady who said, you know, for much of my life, I've smoked like a chimney. I've drunk like there is no tomorrow. But just recently, I've stopped smoking and I haven't touched a glass of wine for 7 days. I said, how do you do that? And she said, just by praying. Just by praying. And it wasn't a boastful comment, but it was a humble struggle. Acknowledging, all my life, I've just taken this as normal. This is my life. This is who I am. But I know there's a better way. I know there is a better way, and that is God's way. And today, it's not really about smoking or alcohol. It might be. It might be about all sorts of things. But ultimately, whatever it is, it's about us saying, can God transform me? And I want to suggest, yes, he can, but we have to make a choice. Who are we going to be? Are we going to be the person I want to be? or we're going to be the person God created me to be? And we're going to take today the example of Jesus and then the example of the first disciples. And this is what we read earlier from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. At that time, Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." At once, the Spirit sent him out into the desert, and he was in the desert 40 days, being tempted by Satan. He was with the wild animals, and angels attended him. The example of Jesus. And we have three things that are right there before us. So there's no hiddenness, no pretense here. Three things. He accepts baptism. He accepts the Father's blessing. And then there is a point of testing for Jesus. But let's just have a look at this first one. Jesus accepts baptism. And you say, well, what does it mean? Jesus accepts baptism. The understanding we have of baptism in the Bible is that John came as a prophet out of the wilderness, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Be baptized." And people gathered from all the towns and cities nearby to be baptized. And they were baptized with a baptism of repentance. What that meant was, as they were baptized, it was a symbolic act of saying, "I am turning my life around. I want to live now for God, no longer for myself. The agenda I need to connect with is God's agenda for myself, for my community, for my world, and not my agenda for myself." So it was a baptism of repentance, a baptism of turning round. That's what baptism was about. And yet we have Jesus coming to John. I think it's in Matthew's gospel that John says, "Hang on, Jesus, you should be baptizing me." But Jesus says, "No, no. To fulfill all righteousness, you must baptize me. I must be baptized." And Jesus humbly accepts baptism. What is he doing? I think what he's doing is saying, "I'm doing this to announce to the world, it's not my way, but it's God's way. It's not my way that counts. It's God's way." And he accepts baptism. And I know that some of us have a struggle with being baptized. I want to say, you know, when I was baptized, when I was thinking about being baptized, having given my heart and my life to God when I was 12 years old, when I was 13, 14, I remember my brother, one of my many brothers, got baptized. And I knew as soon as I saw him being baptized, and really before that, I knew I wanted to be baptized. That was right for me. There was really no question. That's just what I wanted to do. But I didn't. I didn't have the kind of relationship with my mum and dad that I could go and talk to them about it. Does that ring any bells? You know. So, but I knew. You see, I went to a young people's club at church at 8 o'clock on a Monday evening. And the baptismal class for the next baptism was at 8 o'clock on a Monday evening at church. I thought, this is cool. I'll just go. And no one in the group will know where I am. They think I've gone to the loo or something. But I snuck into the baptismal class. And I remember the key reason that was given why I should be baptized, why anybody should be baptized. Because Jesus was baptized. That was it. And to be honest, I thought they were going to say something more profound than that. But no, that's what they had. Why should I be baptized? I wasn't really questioning, but that's what they said. Because Jesus was baptized. There's somebody who says, "I accept God's way, not my way." Now, I've put three things there. Humiliation, risk, opportunity. Humiliation. Some of us, perhaps we say, "I don't want to be baptized because it'll be humiliating. What if it doesn't work? The thought of going down into the water and getting wet and coming up soaking, and what if nothing happens? What if Jesus had been baptized and he'd come up out of the water, and what if heaven had not opened? What if the dove had not come upon him? What if the voice had not spoken to him? Would he have missed it? There is the possibility of humiliation, of just humbling yourself in baptism, just saying, blow it. I don't really care. I want to go God's way. And if I look daft, I don't care. That's what I'm going to do. Because I want God's way for me, not my way. And then there is risk. There's risk. You know, I always think, you know, when somebody's baptized, and, you know, there is this, if you've ever taken somebody down into the water, going down's easy. It's the coming up that's difficult. Going down's easy. And here's the thing, that's true in life. Going down is really easy. It's coming up that's tough. And the risk, every time we humble ourselves and do what God wants, there's a risk we won't come back up. Every time we put ourselves on our knees before somebody else to serve them, there's the risk that that's where we'll stay. Every time we step out of our castle that protects us to go and help somebody else, there's a risk we won't get back in. There's a risk in following God's way. That will be true for us. But we say, blow it. I don't care. Because I want God's way for my life. I don't want my way. I know I could achieve a great deal with my way, but where will it end? I want to be the person God created me to be. I want to be the passionate, beautiful, fulfilled person that God has created me to be. And if that involves accepting baptism, then that's what I'll do. And then there's opportunity. Here we have Jesus accepting the opportunity that is presented to him for service for the rest of his life. And it's a great opportunity that baptism presents to us. And it is an opportunity that's presented to us. Okay, now you're out of the water. How are you going to live? Who are you going to be now? And it's presented to us. And Jesus comes up out of the water, ready to be led by the Spirit. That's what we note. He's ready to be led by the Spirit. So the example of Jesus, God's way or my way, Jesus accepts baptism. There's something in us, perhaps, that scratches our head, where we scratch our head and go, you know, surely he didn't need to. But he did. And we need to follow him. And then the second thing I've got up here is the Father's blessing. Belonging, love, affirmation. Those wonderful words that are spoken by God. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. You are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. Powerful words that need to be spoken over each one of us. You're my son, you're my daughter, and I love you, and I'm pleased with you. And it might be that we go, I haven't done anything yet. And God just says, I'm still pleased with you. And that sense of belonging, you're my son, you're my daughter, I love you. The love, the affirmation, I'm pleased with you. And I wonder sometimes, wouldn't it be great if as parents we were far freer in saying those kind of things? And I know some parents here, very free, and it's great that we're able to say those kind of things to our kids. But if we could all grow up within a community where there was that, you're mine, You're my son, you're my daughter. I love you. I'm pleased with you. Well done. Good. And this is God's way. When we take that step and we possibly face humiliation, we humble ourselves, we take the risk, then there is the Father's blessing on us. And if we're thinking about baptism, I want to assure you there is the Father's blessing that we will know that we belong to God, that he loves us and he's pleased with us. But then there's testing. You see, the story at this point is great. You see, Jesus accepts baptism. He goes through the water, and that is fantastic because the Spirit comes on him like a dove, and the heavens open. The Father speaks words, such good, beautiful, affirming words. And then what are we told? We are told that the Spirit led Jesus. No, verse 12, at once the Spirit sent him out into the desert. And he was in the desert for 40 days being tempted by Satan. This is about being a time of testing. I'm told it's very much similar to a blacksmith who sticks the iron in the fire to burn up all the impurities, to deal with anything that might cause a weakness later. Let's deal with it now. And yes, we might think, well, I can go through baptism. I can go through whatever step God is calling me to. God's way, not my way. That's what I want. Surely it'll be glory, glory all the way. And then how many times? It's just tough, tough, tough. And we think, did I really sign up for this? And we need to know the way of Jesus is precisely this, accepting where the Spirit sends me, that's where I'll go. I'll do the tough thing. I'll stand up and say the tough thing. I'll do what God wants me to do. I'll be who God wants me to be. I will go through that testing, that I might be the best. And so there are those three things. The example of Jesus, he accepts baptism, he receives the Father's blessing, and he goes through that time of testing. I want to just pause at this point and just say, well, what is your response? The challenge of who are you going to be? Will you choose God's way? Or will you continue in your way? What is it that you that is presented to you today? You think, for me to go God's way, this is what I need to do. This is the decision I need to make today that I might continue in God's way. What is it you need to do today? And I can't tell you what it is, but I trust that right now God will have spoken a word into your heart and you'll know what it is. It might be that you fight against it, but I trust you will know right now what it is you're to do. Very quickly, the example of the first disciples. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. We have the example of Jesus doing perhaps what he didn't need to do, but just saying, so we think, I accept God's way. He accepted baptism. He received the Father's blessing, and he was prepared to be tested that he might be the best that he could possibly be. And then we have the story of Simon, Andrew, James, and John. Jesus saying, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me and I will transform you. I will make you the best that you can possibly be. I will delight you with who you can be as you follow me. Now, a good question to ask is, if I follow Jesus, will he make me a fisher of men? Will he? Well, if you're a fisherman, the answer is probably yes. If you're a fisherman, you probably will. But if you're an engineer, I doubt you know much about fishing. You know? Why did Jesus say to the fishermen, I'll make you fishers of men? Because they were fishermen. Because they were fishermen, that's what they knew what to do and how to do. And Jesus says, come follow me and I will take your gifts, your abilities, I'll take who you are, your experience, your talent, and I'm going to make you something extraordinary. I'm going to transform you to a fisherman. But it might be that you say, well, I'm not a fisherman. I've said before, I think I've been fishing. I've never caught anything, but I've been fishing in my life. It's a great experience, but I've never caught anything. I'm useless at fishing. I don't really know what to do. You know, it might be, what are you? Who are you? What is your skill? What is your gift? Are you a fisherman? Are you an engineer? Are you a musician? Are you an artist? What is it that you are? Are you a teacher? Are you creative? Are you methodical? Are you logical? Who is it that you are? And if Jesus comes your way today and says, come follow me, I will make you the best you can possibly be. If you will turn your life and step into the footsteps of Jesus, I'll make you the best you that you can be. You may never see any fish, but you'll be the best you can be. I'll make you creative. I'll make you fruitful for me. Maybe that's why Jesus said, I'll make you fishers of men. I'm going to make you fruitful. You're going to produce and create. And that's who I'll make you. And that's the choice. My way or God's way. There's God's power, God's mercy, God's transformation. And what it comes down to is, are we going to be God's people? Are you going to be God's man? Are you going to be God's woman? Are we going to not just talk about and theorize about God's power or God's mercy? Are we going to let the power of that mercy transform us? Are we going to take the steps, even today, whereby we say, okay, whatever it means for me, maybe that very thought terrifies you. Whatever it means for me, I will take steps today and in the days following to make sure I am God's man, I am God's woman. I'm following him from today for however many days, weeks, months, or years I have left. May God richly bless us and affirm us as we make our response to him today.